Just over 2 years ago, on the 5th of March, I left our offices here in Melrose Arch and I went downstairs to get a cup of coffee. Along the way, my phone beeped. I looked down at it and I saw that South Africa had recorded its first COVID-19 case. I came back to an office that looked very, very different. The last 2 years have been an incredible, incredible journey, not obviously just for us, but in fact, for the entire country and the entire world. The reality that we find ourselves in and we found ourselves in over the last couple of years was unimaginable. It was during this time that I had a conversation with Dr. Anton Myburgh, and I said to him that it would be an amazing idea to be able to educate people a couple of times, record a couple of podcasts about this COVID-19 thing. I think even that at that time we still called it Corona. I don't really remember. He said, absolutely not. Not going to happen. Not my thing. I'm a doctor. I'm not somebody that does this. We didn't take him seriously, of course, at all. That was the first lesson that we had to learn. I went to some of the guys here at Synthesis and I said to them that I had this idea. It's got no marketing value. It's absolutely not our brand. If anything, it's going to confuse people. Are you happy to get behind it? And of course, the answer, as you know, was yes. Nearly 500,000 people later, countless amount of Sundays, lots of very, very difficult days, some very funny days, lots of laughs, lots of dogs in the background, lots of abuse. We have produced something that I'm particularly proud of. I'm proud of what Synthesis has done, I'm proud of what I've done, and I'm proud of what Dr. Anton Myburgh has done, not just around the COVID podcast, but about so much more. We've decided that it is time to call it, not because COVID is over, but because it is time that we learned to live with COVID. That COVID has in fact become or is becoming endemic, and we need to get on with our lives. Obviously, should there be a resurgence, should there be something to talk about, we'll be back. But for now, it is time to rather end with a bang than a whimper. And so, for the last time, I'm Howard Feldman, and this is the Sunday Synthesis Podcast. A very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman, and this is the final Synthesis COVID podcast. Here we are, April the 3rd, 2022, and just like that, and just where we began, so we end. A couple of years ago, in fact, just over 2 years ago, we met here at the studios in Rosebank, and we recorded a podcast talking about COVID-19. I recorded it. I asked a friend, pulmonologist, Dr. Anton Myburgh, to come into studio and give us his thoughts on things. Less than a week later, we were in lockdown. And in fact, we couldn't come back into the studio. 2 years later, here we are at the final COVID podcast. The circles, they go round and round. I'm not talking about the painted ponies that go up and down, but we've certainly had unicorns. We've had unicorns. We've had all sorts of things. This morning, we're going to be talking about COVID, where to from here. And then we'll be taking a moment to look back at what was this weird, wonderful, and strange, strange undertaking, the Sunday Synthesis COVID podcast. My partner in crime, Dr. Anton Myburgh. Good morning. How does it feel
to be sitting here? Good morning, Howard. It feels surreal to be sitting here.
I think sad.
What a place. Yeah, it's bittersweet. It's
okay, definitely bittersweet. Because you don't look sad, and that's worrying me.
I don't look sad at all.
I feel like you're not as sad as you should be.
I'm liar.
No, so okay. Upset. No, you are sad.
But, Oscar face.
Oscar face is. Either way, that's something different. So let's start off before we go back. Before we talk about the history, let's look at the numbers. Where are we? What is happening? Because it wouldn't be a COVID podcast if you didn't bamboozle us with millions of numbers.
So interestingly enough, someone told me yesterday at lunch that there's no point in telling everybody how many cases there are, how many people have died, how many blah, 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 and that's what they say, blah, 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 blah.
I strongly disagree.
Well, I have to say in some ways that's true.
No.
We've reached the stage where we know that this infection is around us. We know what it can do. We know just how crucial vaccination really is. And we need to know what's important. Well, what's important is how many people are actually requiring hospitalization, not how many people have had the virus. We've passed that stage. And how many people are stupidly refusing vaccination. My good friend told me this morning, sometimes there's no logic to stupidity. And we have seen this time and time again. The world has a different reaction to the way it's treated COVID. Every country thinks that they've done the right thing, and every country thinks their protocols were the right way to go. So all I can say today is there are 1,420 new cases in the last 24 hours with a 5.4% test positivity rate and minimal numbers in hospital.
So that means we're there, right?
So
as long as we're vaccinated.
Well, yes, I think that's the point. So are we there? No, but are we there? Yes, if that makes things more understandable. I think if we had to go and look at the tea leaves now and try and work out exactly how to predict the future, we'd all come crashing down. We know that following all the waves, we've been first, second, third, fourth wave. We know there's going to be a fifth wave. We know that things are going to happen down the line. But there's two schools of thoughts and there's two types of people. There's the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. The vaccinated people will be okay. They'll get infections on a yearly basis, but it'll be minimal, be mild, be as if asymptomatic. Flu. Some of them won't even know that they've had it.
Right.
The unvaccinated are the people that are going to be the problem. They're going to be carrying this virus from year to year. They're going to be the ones who are spreading the variants of the virus, and those are our problem.
So is it time then to stop talking about it as waves and rather seasons? We talk about flu as the flu season. When are we there? We're not exactly there yet.
Right. And if you look at the United States, there's about 30,000 cases a day still in the United States, which is not a lot. Mm-mm. But if you try and look back to where we were a year ago, you know, there was many more cases. But if we look back to 2 years ago, there weren't 30,000 cases a day. So we've dropped that benchmark. So, it's okay to have 30,000 cases a day in the United States, but not here. So we're going in a positive direction. Listen, we're still going into winter. We're still going to have to realize that we are going to get infections, and there might be other variants. But we did extremely well with the Omicron variant, and now it's gone into the BA2 variant, and it's gone further. There's the XD, XE, XF variants. There's all new variants that are forming. Whether or not they're more transmissible or worse, we don't know yet. But we as a country, as South Africa, have managed the Omicron variant extremely well.
Are we seeing people that had contracted Omicron getting the new sub-variants?
So very rarely.
Okay.
I mean, people who've had it and who are vaccinated and are continue vaccinating are really doing well.
Okay, so I don't need to worry.
So
I don't know, because I'm feeling a little bit.
Yeah, you're looking a bit pale. You're matching the color of your shirt.
I feel. That's what my wife said this morning.
Yeah, your blue shirt matches your blue complexion.
Yes. Says the colorblind guy on the opposite side of the table. Right. So if you're vaccinated, and whether you've had a COVID in one form or another, the chances are, sitting here today, April the 3rd, 2022, you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
obviously, there's the exceptions.
100%. As I said, once again, look at the tea leaves. You can't predict everything.
Sure.
But people who have got no major comorbidities and are vaccinated and have had COVID themselves, have had the best combination of antibody formation, will be okay, please God. You know, there's a whole drive towards now getting another booster for someone who's immune compromised, and I think that's the way to go. If you're on chemotherapy, if you've got a solid organ transplant, or if you've had anything dramatic like that, then you should get another booster. We're talking about a fourth.
Baldness, because at one stage you said that was a real concern.
Yeah, baldness definitely for you. I think you should get I think you should get at least 4 or 5 vaccines this week.
Right, you know what happened to the last person that was called bald on public TV?
Yeah, heard about that saying, one. But are they vaccinated?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
probably. Either way, okay. And then the issue of flu vaccines. A lot of people asking questions today. Should I be getting my flu vaccine? Should I be waiting between the flu vaccine and my booster shot? What is your advice on that?
So there's an old saying: pay your TV license is the right thing to do. Get your flu vaccine. It's the right thing to do. Okay, we got to get our flu vaccines. Make sure you get the tetra flu vaccine, which is the quadrivalent flu vaccine. There's no time like the present. Now is the time. Get it today, get it tomorrow. According to CDC guidelines, you can have it on the same day as you have your booster or you have your other vaccine.
That's
just
nice.
Having an opposite arm. What they are going to do in the future, what they're speaking about, is actually combining the flu vaccine with the COVID vaccine. So there's no problems having the two together.
Right. And so it's likely, in fact, next year this time, we might see the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine, just as
listen,
one.
Listen, please God, by this time next year, it's going to be completely an endemic virus, very much like the flu vaccine, and hence it will be okay to have them together as one.
How far are we from it being endemic? We've spoken a lot about that.
Yeah, so as I say, you know, I don't think scientists make the decision of whether or not it will be endemic or not. I think the people will make the decision. You know, the world will make the decision. It's now time for it to be an endemic virus. And we've seen that with the way people are changing mask mandates and people are changing social distancing and people are changing all the things. So it feels to me in South Africa, it feels like it's already endemic. But as I say, we're still going to go through a fifth wave and we can't predict how that fifth wave will be. But we can say that to the vaccinated people, it'll be a much easier ride.
Yeah, it'll be all right. The talking about mask mandates, obviously now we are not obligated to wear masks outside. We are asked to wear masks inside in public places.
Right. So, and that's important because that's how we stop the spread of the virus, albeit that it won't be as bad. You've got to understand something very, very, very important, that even if you do get the virus and it is a mild virus, a lot of people still are suffering with the long COVID, the post-acute sequelae of COVID. It's called the PASC syndrome. And people get fatigue. They get tinnitus. They get ringing in the ears. They get headaches. They get muscle aches. And these things can last for a long duration of time. So it's not just a simple thing. We'll say, well, just be inside and make sure you have the, you know, no mask on because you'll be okay if you get it and you're vaccinated, you're fine. You're not fine. You've got to be responsible. You've got to be wise. You've got to be clever. Right. You've got to sort of really outpip this virus.
And in terms of long COVID, I mean, I asked you if it's possible because I think I might have asymptomatic long COVID. But apparently that's not a thing medically.
Is there anything you've ever done for a long duration other than the podcast?
Wow, that is so rude. That is so rude. Well, I would say our enduring friendship, maybe that's something.
Post today.
Post, exactly. So, no, the long COVID, how long are you seeing it last with people? I mean, are you seeing this diminishing over the months that you're treating people?
No, so that's actually a great question because the more we going into it, the more we're seeing that it's actually a longer duration, but people didn't realize that what they were suffering was COVID-related complications. I mean, I've got people who are still suffering from lack of taste, lack of smell a year down the line. People are still suffering from headaches. People who can't get out of bed with severe fatigue.
And lack of taste doesn't mean they dress badly, because
that's pre-COVID.
Right, comorbidity.
That's someone who doesn't have a great wife to dress them. Hashtag shout out.
Right. So these things are enduring.
Yeah, in all seriousness. Long lasting.
And is there any way to treat it? Like, what
do
you actually
do? There are certain ways. I mean, there are COVID clinics that are popping up for long-term complications of COVID. There's some in the Western Cape. There's some in Israel. There's some in America. They're all over the world. And there's certain things that are looked at for how to treat the headaches, how to treat the fatigue, how to treat the certain respiratory complications or the neurological conditions. So there are tweaks to it, but nothing is infallible. You can't definitively just cure everything straight away with one drop of scientific knowledge.
When are you opening your long COVID clinic?
I think next week Sunday.
I think we don't have anything to do next week Sunday.
Good.
Next week Sunday, you can phone Dr. Anton Marburg's room and make an appointment for his long COVID clinic. It's interesting though, because to some extent you're treating people with long COVID.
Yes, we're just not calling it a clinic. We're just saying we're actually treating your complications of COVID, and there's certain ways to deal with it, and there's certain tricks of how to get things right.
If somebody gets COVID now, what is expected of them? I'm so confused in terms of isolation.
You're not the only one that's confused. I think we're all confused at the moment. My feeling is if you get COVID now and you're asymptomatic, you're allowed to go out into the open. You're allowed to think, but just be responsible. Wear a mask. You know, make sure you tell people, listen, I've got COVID. I'm not going to come and sit inside with you and eat next to you without a mask.
It feels a bit scary. If somebody says, I've got COVID, let me join your meeting.
Yeah, 100%. Make sure they wear a proper mask and an effective mask, either a surgical mask or an N95, K95 mask. That's the way to do it. But if you are symptomatic, if your nose is running, if you're coughing, if you've got a fever, any of those complications, then stay at home, isolate for the full 7 days. That's what
I think that's important. Yeah.
There's no stigma to it. You're protecting people around you.
Why should there be? I guess in the beginning maybe there was, but I spoke to people who were absolutely victimized by their communities because initially they had COVID.
I think we due to the fact of vaccination, we've gone through a complete turnaround of how to accept it and how to deal with it and what to do and how to move forward.
Yeah, and I think that's I think that's absolutely vital. There are a couple of things now that we actually look back on the years, and Nahi sent these questions in, which I actually think are very, very smart. With the benefit of hindsight, and with the benefit of more experience dealing with this disease, where did we go right and where did we go wrong?
Sure. Yeah, that's a whole different discussion for a full day. But in summary, I think that we went right with the lockdown initially, but then we continued for too long. Initially, when we didn't have the tools, when we didn't have the setup, when we didn't know really how to tackle this thing, the lockdown was great. But it progressed for too long. It battered the economy, it battered all types of things, and changed things dramatically. There was a poor rollout of vaccines. There's delay in vaccination. I still think we've made a huge mistake by not vaccinating the above 5-year-olds. There's not enough vaccines to go around for people that want their boosters but have had like certain things.
And yet we're destroying 80,000 vaccines because we...
That's a mistake.
Yeah. Right?
The biggest mistakes and one of the most definitive mistakes is the ivermectin debacle, the hydroxychloroquine debacle, and the azithromycin debacle.
Does ivermectin work?
Ivermectin works for your mad cow disease, yes. But it doesn't work for
work
COVID.
For mad cow disease,
and
but
it's
you're not a
definitive. It does not work. And we've learned that. And there's still going to be proponents for it. And there's still going to be people who are going to go say, you must use it. But these are people who are unscientific and have got no basis for this. And I actually have no idea why they're still proposing people
but
use
why,
it.
But why did that? Why do you think that that became such a thing?
Almost
became
political. People are looking for a golden chalice. Yeah, people are looking for a golden chalice. If you look for, you know, all these guys overseas that were discredited because of it, they almost got onto this bandwagon and said, well, let's go with this. And they got so deep into it that they couldn't get off that wagon. And that's, they've fallen.
Looking back, what were some of the changes along the way? And I won't say mistakes, because you can't say mistakes, because you only can deal with information that you have at a given time. And it's very easy to judge ourselves on current information. We didn't have it. But if you look back, I know masks was one of
masks was definitely there, because we followed the CDC guidelines. And the CDC said, don't wear masks. It's not important. Don't sanitize. Just do this. Just stay away from people, etc. And a day later, wear masks. You have to wear masks everywhere. You have to sanitize. You have to clean the foam arts off your shopping. I mean, we used to clean the shopping bags, and people used to like put them outside for 2 weeks and that type of thing. Those were mistakes, and those were things that we didn't realize were any different until we saw studies about it, until we saw that it actually made no difference. But there's certain things we learned that you know, even now, today, in 2022, in April, when we see a COVID patient in the hospital, we don't go in the full PPE anymore.
No, I didn't know that.
We wear an N95 mask, we wear a visor, we wear a pair of gloves and an apron. And
is that because it's transmitted through the air?
Really? That's transmitted through the air, and you can just, you know, keep yourself. It's not surface to surface. So you're not going to touch the person and get the virus. So if you wear the barriers to stop yourself from transmitting it to yourself from somebody else, you'll be protected, and you don't need the full rigmarole, the hazmat suit, the Ebola suit, the whole story.
Wow.
I mean, that used to take us hours and hours a day, and we used to shower after every single patient. We used to drive ourselves insane.
Well,
it held us in good stead. I mean, you know, we didn't pick up the virus, and thank God, you know, it was a good thing. But boy,
well, I remember just a personal story when my father was very, very ill. My late father was dying from, he had a terminal illness, and we needed Anton just to come past to see him. Now, we had made the decision for him not to be at the hospital because we knew where his disease was going. We were very, very careful. But in order for you to come and see him, you had to be covered. It looked like something out of E.T. When you came into the house. You know, it was crazy.
I don't remember those sound effects,
no,
but it
I
was
do.
Very similar
I do.
To this.
It was. Believe me,
and I did want to go home
and shower. No, it was just absolutely insane. I mean, I speak to people who would literally walk into the house, leave all their clothes at the front door, go and shower, not kiss their kids or wife hello because they just didn't want to bring anything
into
the house.
Look, certain things are going to stay with us. You know, like if I look forward going to the future, you know, I don't think any physician and anyone who works in medicine itself, I'm not talking about the surgical discipline, but anyone who works in medicine itself, treating people with bacterial infections, viral infections, will ever see a patient again without a mask.
That's interesting.
It's changed our views completely and it stops us from getting all these infections and it protects us.
And potentially that passing them on to somebody else.
100%. Even so, wearing scrubs that I never used to wear and now like changing when I get home, it's just a different way of containing bacterial and viral spread of infections. And there are certain things that have changed. If you look at it, I mean, from a school point of view, from a work point of view, from economy, from travel, there are major things that have changed throughout the world that will never go back to being what they were, but we'll take them forward with us.
Let's talk about post-traumatic stress.
Me or for you or for everybody else?
Look, first of all,
for my poor family?
I think everybody collectively, worldwide, is suffering to a greater or lesser extent from some form of post-traumatic stress. But it also unquestionably, people like yourselves and your nurses, your everybody, the physios, everybody who lived in this almost surreal world that must have suffered more. So it's almost like different levels. You know, then maybe the families, obviously people who have lost loved ones, people who have been in hospital and survived. The level of trauma, I think, is going to stay with us for years. What's your thought on that?
I think from a psychological point of view, we're going to see down the line at a later stage of children who have been through this without getting help. So in other words, the parents haven't actually cottoned on to the fact that the children have been psychologically damaged by staying indoors, not being able to be with people, by being locked down behind computers, and they don't know how to interact anymore. And they need to learn those skills.
I feel you may be suffering from that a little bit.
I was out the room. I'm just saying, hashtag speaking for a friend. So there's lots of post-traumatic stress. And it's from not only from, it's from people who lost people in hospital, who weren't allowed to go and visit them, who didn't see them when they were on their last breath. You know, and that doctors had to phone them and tell them, I'm sorry, they've gone, and they didn't get to see them for a week. And, you know, young people, old people, people that just really suffered from so many different aspects.
What kind of healing should take place?
You almost need like a personal sort of immersion of people into just a breath of fresh air, if that makes any sense, where people can actually just immerse themselves and come out on with a clean slate and say, hold on, you know,
and recognize each other's pain.
We actually know what we've been through. We can speak about it. We can deal with it together, but we need to move forward together. Not forgetting. Don't forget the past, because it's very easy to forget, you know, where we were, especially for people who weren't in the hospitals. It's very easy to forget and say we overreacted, which we never did. But
well, there's a couple of questions about fear mongering.
Yeah.
I'm apparently a massive fear monger. I'm just fearful. There's a very big difference. Yeah. No, but seriously, fear mongering is this accusation. But I also read somewhere that ahead of a pandemic, whatever you do at the time appears to be too much, and looking back, whatever you did wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So you almost can't win it.
You know, I always say, and I've said this a lot to people, is that in 3 or 4 years' time, we'll learn things about the virus that we never knew, and we'll only be able to take it forward from that point of view. So we'll always learn new things. We never know enough about this virus, or you'll never know enough about a pandemic. If you go back to 1918 and the pandemic there and then, there were a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of new things that have been learned and a lot of things to take forward. So you are a fear monger, we know that, but that's just in general. Laugh, you scare the bejesus out of people.
I do. But I've said to people a lot over and over, please never take me seriously.
And that's why sometimes you've got to have a moderate look at things. And we've got to I try to be as moderate as possible.
No, but of course, I'm being facetious. But the reality is that's what this COVID podcast was about. That's how we conceived the idea, is to try and bring accurate information. We kept away from the politics as much as we possibly could, because we wanted
to... kept it real.
Exactly. We wanted to keep it real and medical.
Yeah.
So if they were closing beaches, yes, of course, we would comment on that. But we didn't give an extended view deliberately on the political side of it, because it did become infused, especially in other countries in the world, with a tremendous amount of politics. When we spoke of just over a year ago, we did that 1 year anniversary, and I said to you, are you going to be going for help to deal with some of this? And you said, you know, when the fire's raging, you know, it's not the time to go and debrief. You need to get through that fire, and then you could look back and start doing that. Do you think you're nearly ready for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think we all need really for that, but us specifically in the medical field. Mm. But without realizing it, we do it on a daily basis. We get help. And even something like this podcast helps you internalize things and helps you. I mean, the preparation you put in for it, you think about things that have happened, you think about occurrences, you think about, have you made mistakes? Have you done wrong things? What have you been through? What have families been through? And you internalize all of it, and it definitely helps you get through it.
Well, interesting, I guess, because every week it made you stop for a half an hour. And well, obviously, besides the prep is hours, but stop and just breathe and talk about these things. So I guess it was. Can we talk about your experience on the COVID podcast? Because you were a bit of a ninny when I asked you if you were prepared to do that. No disrespect.
Yeah, so I remember it vividly. I mean, you driving me mad to come do interviews on the radio and do this and do that. And then finally I relented. I remember school asked me to come and speak about vaping in the beginning of March 2020. It was a week before all the COVID chaos, and I remember pacing up and down and feeling physically ill. I wanted to vomit. I wanted to speak in front of a hall full of people, but you pushed me. And after years of refusing to do interviews with you, I finally went and I did it, and I relented because I felt so strongly on the topic, and also because I thought I'd shut you up. Well, that didn't really work.
Just encouraged.
But now look at us, you know. Yeah. Thanks, and thank you for believing in me, and thank you for, you know, giving me the most amazing platform to work with you and to spread awareness in what we're doing, and give us the opportunity to provide guidance and insight at a time where people needed it, and gave people a place to turn. And for the laughs, there have been some of those too as well.
That's been quite funny. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing as well is from a synthesis point of view, and we do need to give a shout out to them. They've sponsored this. They pay for it every week. And when I went to, and I told the story before, when I went to some of the directors, Jake Shepherd and Michael Shapiro, and I said to them, guys, listen, Tom Wells, I said, this is the idea. I think people need this information. You have to know that as head of marketing at Synthesis, it's a horrible marketing idea. It's just going to confuse the brand. It doesn't talk to our actual business, our product, but what it does talk to is education. It talks to the fact that we want to educate people, for people to know what's going on out there. And they didn't even hesitate. They said, let's go with it. Let's see where it goes. And 2 years later, and just under, really not far under, a million views. Week after week, we broadcast this, and obviously it slowed down in the last couple of weeks, but it's just been incredible. The feedback that we have got is so overwhelming that, you know, people saying, oh, what are we going to do on Sunday now? Well, you don't need to worry, and I'll tell you why. Is because whether this bloke likes it or not, at least once a month, I'm saying it here publicly. He's looking at me like, what the hell are you going to say? We're going to, at least once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, have a discussion around medical issues. So we'll talk about various topics of interest, the latest research in certain areas. Maybe we'll talk about asthma. Maybe we'll talk about diabetes. Maybe we'll talk about managing a stroke. Things that
influence. Maybe we'll talk about hypochondriacs.
Yes, I think that's I think let's do that as the first one. In fact, although maybe we've done it all the way through. But those are the topics, and those are the things that we want to keep bringing you. There's also a new concept called Synthesis TV, which is going to be launching early in May, where we're going to be looking at things tech, all sorts of different innovations in the business world and in the world of technology. And I have no doubt that you're going to love those as well. But I want to go back before we even finish. Obviously, the other people we're going to shout out to, and we'll do that in a moment. But how are you feeling right now?
So I say it's quite an emotional time. I must say I'm feeling a bit inwardly teary-eyed. Mm. I must say it's been a long journey. It's been a tough journey, but it's been an informative journey. I've learned a lot from this, and it's been a hard 2 years.
It's been hell. It's been hell, but surely fulfilling in a way.
I've learned who's there for us and who's there to, you know, a shoulder to cry on without putting your head on their shoulder because
you couldn't. COVID. Yeah. Right.
And yeah, it's been an amazing journey for us. And
your family?
To my family, I can just say thank you. I mean, yeah, you know, to my wife, to my children for putting up with me, for giving me every Sunday off, for being my pillar of support, for just actually, you know, having to always take the brunt of the fact that they're the doctor's family. What are they doing? I mean, and to the fact that my daughter's on Shabbaton Minimach away this weekend says it all. So where we've come from, to where we are, to where my kids are going, they're playing sports now, they're doing everything normal again. It's real.
And of course, a massive shout out as well to Marco. Marco has done this. I don't know how he's put up with Anton. I really, really don't
know. Yes, I've just got to interject there. I've also got to say a huge thank you to Marco. Marco, I mean, how you actually Photoshop Howard to look like he does, you are another level. So well done to you. Thank you for everything you do. You are talented. You are unbelievable. And also thank you to Synthesis from our side, because Synthesis, you've given us a forum to promote this. Thank you to Synthesis. Thank you to Belinda. Thank you to everybody from that direction. You know, you've really given us an amazing, once again, platform to spread awareness and education. And thank you to everybody who's done certain things, to Tanya for the balloons, to Liat for the cake, to everybody who's just done their part.
You know, and the whole way through we've had this. You know, we've had Kim Tobias sending in a cake at the 1 year anniversary. Yep. We've had Tanya sending in balloons. We've had people sending in gifts. Like it's just of gratitude.
Yeah.
And it's really just been an incredible, I find it quite emotional, I have to say, because we have walked the journey with people and not separate to them, because in fact we're all living the same experience.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, what made it so real. I guess the question, Anton, that I need to ask you is there good news?
So Howard, there's great news. Okay, I mean, if you look back to 2 years ago when it was Passover, we were alone.
Yeah.
We were cooped up. No one could be with anybody. We couldn't be with our parents. We couldn't be with our siblings. We had to be home alone in an environment. We had to exercise in our gardens and do 5 kilometers running up, down, up, down. Some of us would exercise.
Excuse
and do
me.
Things like that, okay?
Yeah. Right.
It's changed. You know, this year is very different. There's a Hebrew saying, Manishtana halayla hazeh.
Absolutely. I've actually just remembered, and it's so funny. When we did that your first COVID podcast here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, we left the studio, it's here in Rosebank, and we went running around to see if we could get dumbbells.
Yeah.
Because we knew the country was going into lockdown and you needed
and
some.
I've been with a dumbbell for the last 2 years. It's unbelievable.
But isn't that amazing? I've just forgotten about as you were talking about it, I remember.
So, I mean, this year is different. You know, this year is really different. Manishna halayla zeh. Why is this not going to be different from the other night? Because we can be with our family this year. You know, we're all vaccinated. We can all be together. Do it responsibly. You know, it's a very different type of thing. Albeit you're not going to have hundreds of people. You have a small gathering, but you can do it safely. And the most important news, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention it, is how we've watched Liverpool absolutely thrive over the last 2 years. The motto of our club is you'll never walk alone. And that is what we have encompassed. We have been on this journey together. We have given a practical way of how to get through it. And we've definitely never let anyone walk alone. And to quote, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And happiness can be found in the darkest of times if only you remember to turn on the light.
That's absolutely amazing. It reminds me of another amazing saying, which is, in the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. And that's what I am.
Are you reading that off of a video prompter?
No, why? It was I meant to.
Yeah.
Did I get it wrong?
I don't know what you're talking, what language that is.
English. Can I say that again now?
No,
because
please,
because you've now ruined the very, very dramatic moment.
Oh, thank God it lost.
In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied, but it's unbowed. And that's where we are. That's where we find ourselves 2 years later. Dr. Anton Meiberg, thank you. I look forward to chatting to you for the next iteration of what this is. But for the final time, this has been the Sunday Synthesis COVID podcast. Have a great week, and God bless.
Just don't want to miss anything, guys.
Well, I'm glad you missed that, because that was not something that one needed to capture.
Oh, really? Whoopsie.
Nope.
Despite
vaccinations, and that was exactly, hello, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for that one. Yes.
One.
I think we've got to stop there for a bit, Marco. Uh-huh.
And you know what, Ant? If priests all looked like this and they were this cool, I think religion would stand a better chance, I'm just saying.
I asked him if he took his estrogen yet.
The compliment being that obviously I only...
You need your estrogen, yes, because it's an excuse for the way you behave. Did you put base on your forehead? It's shining and looks like it's all got base or...
I'm sorry, is he talking? Because I can't hear anything. I'm just hearing nasty noise.
Even the dog's coming to like lick it off.
You did.
Like
you
Howard. Needs a bit of extra help in that department. Hello. Howard's been taking estrogen. He hasn't got COVID once. I'm just saying, maybe this is the new ivermectin of 2022.
Fast. Not so fast. I'm a little scratchy this morning. There we go. Cool.
How's that?
So, Marco, what are you doing next Sunday?
I know what you can do.
What?
There's a great thing you can do. There's a game called Marco Polo.
Oh,
the world is my oyster.
Right.
I think
exactly.
The Synthesis COVID podcast has been 2 years of my life. I think especially the three of us and then obviously more people behind the scenes like Belinda and Kim at the Synthesis team, how much time and energy they've put into this podcast. And I think we've all taken little bits from it. I've become a few things. I've become more knowledgeable, but also more annoying.
What?
Anywhere you go, because you're getting all this information every week, you go anywhere and someone says something about COVID, you're like, actually.
Yeah. Excuse me. I want to stop you there for a moment. Anton, think back.
To ivermectin.
Ivermectin. You took ivermectin. Admit it.
You're like a candy crush fundy. Ivermectin.
Clean,
you didn't
Marco.
Have all those marks all over your body before you took
ivermectin. Look what it did.
This is what it did.
Yeah.
Look what it did.
I know. The effects.
The
effects of ivermectin.
Ivermectin is long lasting.
Yeah. Honestly,
he's going to lie.
Delta variant,
he's actually going to lie.
I'm going to lie. Right through my teeth.
Like a cheap watch. Yeah. Like a rug.
When I got Delta variant last year, I think it was frightening. That variant was frightening for me in terms of my symptoms. The cold and flu medication wasn't helping. And I think ivermectin, even though it was proven not to work and everything, all the misinformation around it made desperate people really want to.
That's what you were saying. It's the golden generation, right?
It's desperation. It's something that doesn't work. It has shown to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it's pure placebo. So you've taken a placebo and you think you're better and you would have been fine without it. But
And luckily it was ivermectin and not something more harmful to human beings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Luckily ivermectin's non-potent, like fairly non-potent.
But are you banned from visiting vets now in the future?
When you go past your dog or you go past a car, they go,
I want what he's taking.
I think, the medical practitioners that I visit now check if I have had my ivermectin shots and make sure that I'm up to date.
Are you on Medipet?
Not sure, actually. Not sure. That's my medical aid. But it's been an amazing journey sitting behind the computer screens every week. Editing this podcast, I feel like I know you guys so well. I'm sure a lot of the viewers do as well. I'm sure they bump into you guys somewhere, and
yeah,
it's like
everywhere. It's the best.
And they're like, "Hi, I'm so and so," and you're like, "Hi, I'm Anto," and it's like, "No, I know who you are. Like, I know you well." They feel like almost offended that you don't know them as well because we've built this relationship with you guys
so
as
cool.
a pair for so long.
And what
but
about,
it's been unbelievable.
What about us annoying you on a Sunday from an
hour
after?
Isn't that the favorite term? Is it ready yet? What time
is
it coming out?
Marco,
is it ready yet,
Marco?
Hurry
me.
Up.
Marco, what, how much longer?
Yeah,
Seriously, are we done yet?
In fact, he's sitting here
when
there's a podcast to get out.
A podcast to get out. So all of those tweets that are going to be streaming into Howard's Twitter there. Where's the podcast? I get those forward to me every week.
No pressure.
But I mean, it's why the podcast has been as successful as it has been. It's a lot of work from all of us doing the right things, a lot of research and expertise from Anton. Howard's one of the best hosts you'll come across.
Thank you.
And I think just the hard work that we put into getting the edit right and getting it out quickly. It's one thing to do a podcast where you've got lots of time to edit it and get everything really tight and nuanced. But because the information was so necessary, so immediate, and people were so desperate to be updated, us getting this podcast out quickly every week was really important. So.
You've been, Marco, involved in a lot of different podcasts. I mean, this is what you do. Have you seen this sort of trajectory before?
Nothing near. I think there's a lot of people who create podcasts, and you'll see the claim fastest growing podcast in South Africa everywhere. And that could be accurate in terms of podcasting in a traditional sense. But as a brand new podcast, there's nothing like this. The way people latched onto it, the way it grew, the clamoring that people had for when an episode didn't come out is unheard of and unseen by me before. And the numbers are astronomical. From a South African perspective, it's just simply huge, huge, huge from the podcasting scene. So it's been unmatched in its success. I have to say that it's been an incredible podcast, but you can really understand why. I mean, the pandemic was unprecedented. People were desperate for the information. People were afraid. And I think this podcast did did a great job of what a lot of traditional media failed in. And I think that's another reason why, is that it was honest. It was real. You guys discussed fear-mongering earlier. And I think traditional media had an agenda towards fear-mongering. And there definitely wasn't intentional fear-mongering. When you guys came out and said, listen, things are bad, be sure to behave this way. It came from the horse's mouth. You know, things were bad at that stage. And people had to take it seriously. And just having this information at the right time was so important. I remember walking away from a podcast almost every week and going straight to my mom and being like, listen, this is what we need to do. You know, this is where we stand. So it's been amazing. I've got favorite moments. There were emotional moments. I can't explain to people how many laughs we had off of camera. The number of times before Zoom meetings start. This is a nice one for most people. Zoom, in the early stages of the podcast, it never used to announce that you're recording. So I used to sneak in a little recording while we were just having a little chat before the podcast. And I used to get little gems out of that. And we all caught a fright the day that Zoom introduced an announcement. And then all of us like, shut up immediately
and behaved
But the number of times just before recordings and after the laughs we had, the football banter,
the dogs, the pets,
the pets. Thank goodness I didn't have to record on the podcast with my microphone when I was recording from home all that time, because my dogs were going mad all the time as well. All the dogs were having conversations with each other.
But I think it is what made it real, and I think that was the point, is absolutely. That it was relatable. But Marco, thank you from Anton, from myself. This could not have happened without you, without your creativity, commitment, good nature, the fact that we battered you to hell and back on a Sunday. This is your professionalism and just a huge, huge amount of gratitude from both of us and from Synthesis.
Really, you've done us a huge, huge, huge favorable thing, and we've enjoyed doing it with you. It's been great, and we wish you much luck in the future, going from strength to strength.
Absolutely, and we'll see Marco behind the camera on Synthesis TV.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. And one just parting word is thank you both so much as well. I'm really proud of the work we've all done together here, and it's certainly a proud project that I can look back on.
Brilliant.